I'm Ellen Mary.
And I'm Michael Perry.
And he's a plonky.
And she's a plant addict.
And this is the Plant-Based Podcast.
This is more than just a gardening podcast. We'll be exploring the world of plants from every possible angle. We'll be talking about plant-based diets, plant materials and fabrics, the well-being qualities of plants, and giving plenty of gardening tips and tricks.
So we'll be chatting worldwide to companies and individuals that are being creative with plants in new and exciting ways, from fabulous flower crowns to foliage-filled lounges,
botanical moisturizers to bamboo clothing.
It's all here.
And it's all made of plants.
Sutton's, suppliers of gardening products since 1806, sponsor the Plant-Based Podcast. Visit them online at suttons.co.uk.
So, hey, Roscoe.
Hiya.
We've pulled you out of the plant den today, haven't we?
Yes, you have.
But we're sitting in the sunshine, so, you know, it's cool.
It's a lovely day today, yes.
Are you feeling safe removed from your houseplants? I feel like, you know...
I thought you might bring one with you.
Yeah.
No, it's all good. I've got my girlfriend, Michelle. She's looking after the shop for the moment, so that's
expertly
fine.
So as well, right?
Yes.
So, Roscoe, the plant den's a pretty new shop here in Norwich, isn't it, in Jarrell's?
It's very new, yes.
And I think the plant den is the perfect name for it, because it is like a den, isn't it? You kind of come in and go down the steps and it's like a little den full of house plants. It's really cool and trendy.
Exactly. It's a really small space. It's about the size of your average garden shed, but we've absolutely packed it out full of all sorts of plants. So, yeah, it's a real treat as you come down the stairs.
It is, and it's a bit like you can't walk away without taking a house plant with you, which is a problem, really, for house plant lovers.
People walk past with their partners and they go, not looking.
That's brilliant.
Like self-imposed plant bans. They can't buy any more plants. So.
I just sneak them home with me and I put them on the shelf somewhere and then I pretend like they've been there forever, or I propagated it. So if my husband says to me, is that a new plant? I'm like, no. I propagated that from that other one over there. And so
that's a whole other subject, isn't it?
I know.
Gardening shame.
Yeah, gardening shame. But where did the idea come from in the first place?
Well, basically... I kind of got a bit obsessed with cacti.
I bought
a cactus from a car boot sale for £1. Uh-huh. And basically that started my obsession. And both Michelle and I are sort of mad on houseplants anyway. Uh-huh. We travel far and wide to pick up plants that we can't get in certain places.
You have to tell us more about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. And so Michelle's like a big houseplant fan as well.
Yep, she's always had houseplants. She's had Pilia and things like that long before they were like popular on Pinterest and things like that. So
I know that you have recently changed career to do this, haven't you?
That's right, yeah.
What were you doing before?
Well, I used to work in TV as a freelance sound recordist, and I still might do a little bit of that work, but so far the business is the primary focus.
Okay.
Yeah, all about houseplants and cacti and all of this.
That's so cool. You used to travel the world and everything?
Yeah, I used to travel around with Channel 4's A Place in the Sun, places like Barbados, St Lucia, Spain, Cyprus, you name it. So.
Are you giving all of that up for houseplants?
Pretty much.
Well, you're still surrounded by the greenery and the jungle feel, so
yeah,
what's different?
It's just a change of pace of life and just something for ourselves, really.
That's really cool.
And you were the first houseplant shop in Norwich as well, right?
First dedicated houseplant cacti shop, yes.
Okay, that's great.
We needed you.
We did, yes, definitely.
But I want to talk a little bit more about the location, because it's kind of on the entrance to a big department store, isn't it? Which is great for passing traffic too. It's in a stairwell, isn't it?
It's in a stairwell, yes, in a big store. Can I mention the store?
Yeah,
You can do whatever you like.
It's a large family store called Jarrell's, which is a bit like... another large store, John Lewis. And this is a family business and they support local businesses. Mm-hmm. And we were just very, very lucky to get into Jarrell's. Mm-hmm. We noticed a dead space in Jarrell's that we thought we could make use of that space. Did a PowerPoint pitch presentation, sent it to the manager.
Scary.
He happened to be on holiday in France when he opened the email opposite a houseplant and cactus shop.
There you go, serendipity.
Timing.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Wow.
We then went along, we had a meeting, and they liked the idea, and it rolled on from there, really.
Very nice.
Isn't that amazing, though? Like, that timing of it. It's like how things happen in life sometimes, isn't it? That's really cool.
We'll have to put some pictures up, because when we explain it as being in a stairwell, that sounds very small and pokey, but it's actually quite an open space, and you've got plants coming down the stairs and on the windowsill as well. So even people walking past the store can see that this is suddenly this area of greenery in Norwich where they can buy houseplants and feed their new obsession, isn't it?
Exactly, and we're definitely feeding people's obsessions.
I know.
What about like your star customers? Like, what is the maximum houseplants they have?
It really varies. Yeah. And even the age range, the demographic of people that come in, from small kids right up to, you know, much older people.
Yeah.
And people will buy, you know, one or two things or a whole bunch of things.
That's so cool, though, isn't it? Like, all the different ages are interested in houseplants.
Exactly, yeah. And we've had some real amazing specimen plants in the shop as well. Mm-hmm. Some string of hearts, Cirripedia woodyi, that have literally hung from the ceiling.
Oh, I remember seeing those.
Yeah. Huge, huge, great things.
Oh. And when your deliveries come in, they sell out instantly, don't they?
Exactly.
Like, didn't you have the Monstera, the variegated Monstera?
The white variegated Monstera, yes.
Oh,
that was very, very hard to get.
And I guess people look out on social media, see the deliveries come in, and they're probably banging down your door at 9 a.m, aren't they?
There was a queue of people outside the door of Gerald's on that day. Yeah, honestly, it was absolutely crazy. It was mayhem.
Plants have come so far.
Isn't that incredible? Amazing, and you've hit it bang on time, actually, haven't you?
We have. Even things like Marimo moss balls as well. That's the next...
Wow. Well, that's the ultimate houseplant, because you don't need to water it, because it's this moss that's already sitting in a jar of water, isn't it?
Exactly.
So it's the ultimate easy care houseplant, isn't it?
Like
everyone.
Air plants as well, easy peasy. Mm.
I still need a plant I can travel with. Because,
In your pocket.
Yeah, because I haven't got a garden or anywhere
plant.
To grow plants at the moment. So I want to kind of plant in a necklace or something like that.
You can get flowers, pressed flowers, can't you?
But, maybe a plant for hand luggage. I don't know.
You probably get stopped at border control, you realise that, don't you? Smuggling seeds and plants.
But I guess the most important thing is everyone has got a space for a houseplant of some kind, haven't they?
Exactly. Yeah. And even the generations before us back in the 70s that, you know, have seen the resurgence of all of the same plants, like the Monstera and various types of ferns, Tradescantia, that type of thing. They're still amazed to see all of these things back and different varieties, so many varieties that they've never seen before.
Spider plants were part of my life when I was a kid. They were just everywhere in my mum's house.
Same for me, money plants. My mum
money
had
plants,
hundreds. Every time a leaf fell off, she'd plant it and get out with another one.
But it's like fashion, isn't it? It's kind of come round again. But do you think the trend is here to stay?
I think it is.
I always wonder that myself. I do worry.
I really hope so, because it's exciting. And anyone can grow houseplants, like you were saying. Everyone can have a space for a houseplant. And if that just kind of provokes that interest in gardening, perhaps later on, if you, you know, go and get a garden, you know, buy your first house or that kind of thing, and it gets you outside, a bit more interested in expanding the knowledge from houseplants to gardening, that's a good thing, right?
I think it is. And I think we're catching up with the Europeans, because I read an article that they buy 10 plants versus a British person that might buy one.
Really?
But I think that balance is definitely
tipping. Big Dutch windows, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, that whole industry is based around that.
I'd say my house is slightly Dutch then.
Yeah, definitely. I love in Holland, they've always got a pair of windows as well, and they always have identical houseplants in each window.
Yes.
And probably with identical growing rates as well, because they're quite fussy about how they look similar to each other. But wow, that is so cool.
It's really cool. Yeah. And like, your enthusiasm for plants is just... You know, it stands out. You know.
He's got a new plant tattoo, you know.
I do.
He rolled up his sleeve earlier.
My supplier came over from Holland especially to visit us in our shop, and he was blown away given how small our space was. And he said we were a real ambassador for the industry, and was very proud of what we were doing.
Actually, just thinking about being an ambassador for the industry, if you like, you did do a show garden at the Norfolk Show. Didn't you?
Yes.
Blood, sweat and tears went into that.
Definitely.
But what an amazing achievement.
Yeah.
Yes, we've been trading. We've been trading 10 weeks at the time. And our concept, because we're called the Plant Den, we built a plant den. It was a geodesic dome, which we covered with moss and filled the inside with plants and festoon lighting, carpets and rugs and pillows and all kinds of things. And we were very lucky to win a silver medal for that. We were literally blown away, so great experience.
The concept was just phenomenal. It was a den, like you said, and then on the entrance, so you obviously had to duck down to get into it, but around the entrance was lavender, so you got that lovely fragrance before
That's
you
right.
went into the moss covered.
So you go in, it relaxes
you,
you fall asleep inside for hours. How many people did you find in it by the end of the show?
So many people were in and out of that plant den for the few days we were there, but it had a real good
a talking point, wasn't it? And that's what it's about.
It was very
boho, wasn't
it? It was,
with houseplants. Yeah.
Never seen anything like that at any garden show ever. It was an entirely new concept. And like you said, it's something new. It's about houseplants, something that perhaps shows don't really see or have very often.
Exactly.
So it's pretty amazing achievement.
It was something new, and we were trying to think of a way to display houseplants in a different kind of way, make it interactive as well. That's also part of what we're trying to do. Yeah, it was definitely a hard task that I set ourselves, but we just just pulled it off. It was right to the wire.
What a guy Roscoe is. And he really, to me, he encapsulates everything about a millennial that loves houseplants as well. He's got a cool, trendy beard.
Yeah,
He's arrived here with, the kind of baggy-ish looking clothing. And he's really... he's really a houseplant lover, and
he
one
is.
Of the new breed of houseplant lovers as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I agree.
Fantastic.
He even has a tattoo on his arm.
I know. Oh, fresh
he's
yesterday, wasn't it?
He's obviously, looking at yours and thinking, that's cool. I'm going to have some tattoos.
But it's great. And to start your own houseplant store and to almost cease travelling around the world with your job and then stay in one place and open this store and follow your passion.
And that's really important. It's the passion, isn't it? You find that quite a lot about career changes within horticulture. They're doing it because they're really passionate about plants or horticulture in general. Mm. And that definitely comes through with Roscoe.
It comes across with every transaction he has with his customers. We sat there today and watched him for a while as he actually, taught his customers about the houseplants they're about to buy and made sure that they were going to go in exactly the right position at home, so they've got every chance of success.
Absolutely, and you will have every chance of success hopefully at home as well, because Roscoe now has some tips on taking care of your houseplants. So Roscoe, we now need to get a bit in depth with houseplants here. Let's get some great tips from you. Generally, houseplants tend to die, if you like, if they're overwatered.
Yes.
Is that the main
reason? People kill them with
kindness.
People do kill them with kindness, and people do overwater them. We like to kind of give as much care advice as we possibly can for all of our plants.
Yeah.
We research every single plant that comes through the plant den, and we put little care instructions at the back of all of our labels, which offer basic advice.
And actually that's really good, because it's simple advice. It's not loads of,
horticulture,
if you like. It's do this.
Exactly. It can be overcomplicated sometimes, horticulture,
killing with kindness, obviously, and positions as well are plants. So you need to know, don't you, whether a certain plant should be in the light or prefers a bit of shade, or some love the sunshine, some don't.
Yes.
It's so important.
When our customers come in, they see all of these plants and they're just amazed at all of these different plants. But what I do try and get across to people is, don't just choose a plant because you love it. You need to think about where it's going to go in your house, what kind of environment you can provide for this plant, and make sure that you can look after it and give it the best possible
start. That's great that you give that feedback and support, really. Yeah.
My favourite plant is mother-in-law's tongue, because it sits in a pretty dark spot in my house, and it's amazing and it's brilliant, and you can propagate it as
well.
There's
so many different varieties now as well.
Loads of different varieties. Really easy to propagate.
Is there a black one?
Yes, there's hundreds of different types. Yeah,
different
black
stripes,
coral.
Speckles. My grandma used to have just the normal gold-lined one. And
I think the mother-in-law's tongue is probably the most popular and the one that most people think of when they think of Sansevieria, but there's so many different varieties.
Yeah.
What do you think of the plaited ones, though? Do you like those?
The plaited ones are nice, but I do prefer a more natural kind of look to something overly forced and engineered.
Because there's some houseplants that look very novelty, and I imagine they're popular, but I always think, are they practical? How are they going to grow in the future? Will they always look as good as they do the day you buy it?
I agree with that
example.
Yeah, perhaps. But
and
if
that's
it's
what
dark,
could
that
turn
people.
Yeah, but it could turn people off when it then kind of grows.
But then
weirdly,
you
later.
Can get into the whole conversation, can't you, about succulents covered in glitter or coloured heathers.
It's inspiring.
There's all
them
of this
to grow.
Novelty stuff. But if that's inspired somebody to grow something,
but what
that's...
does Roscoe think of glittery succulents? Would he ever stock them?
Well,
has he got any in stock right now?
No, we do not. That's
we do not.
We definitely stay away from, because it's just
what
a bit too gimmicky
requested
for us.
It?
I still wouldn't buy it.
Really?
No, it's not our thing. So,
well, some people say it is cruelty to the plant because it's blocking, some of the photosynthesis, for example. But it is getting people's attention. So I can never quite decide where I sit on it, to be
personally,
honest.
Personally, I think that's the sort of thing that you see in supermarkets quite a lot often. And
your point of difference, isn't it? Yeah. Because your point of difference is having not just the quality, but the more unusual plants as well.
Yes, to coin a phrase from a well-known friend, the weird and wacky plants. But yes, we do like to specialise in interesting plants, plants that you can't get everywhere else. We change our stock twice a week, and I think it's that keeps everyone coming back to us.
Yeah, wow.
Thinking about kind of giving some tips and advice on different plants, what are the most popular plants that you tend to sell, and then how do we care for them?
I think one of the most popular plants and a plant that we sell all the time is just your basic Monstera.
Okay. Well, that's come back into fashion, hasn't it?
Big time.
And I believe it's gone up in the marketplace by 8%, and growers are struggling to keep up with demand.
Wow.
It's in but demand so much.
I'm propagating some at the moment. I hope I'm doing it right.
I just think it's crazy because, like, I didn't foresee this happening.
No,
this houseplant trend.
You can't foresee everything happening, Mr. Michael Perry.
It's just bad. It just
the plant guru.
It just came from nowhere. And
didn't
get
this one, did you?
No, but sometimes, like, sorry to talk about me for a split second, but it's kind of, it sometimes drives me crazy inside because I spent years loving houseplants and being really ashamed of it. And now everyone loves houseplants. And I'm like sitting there almost like, I told you so. I told you they were cool.
Houseplants are so big at the moment. It's unreal. It definitely is. And the Monstera is a really good starter plant. If you're wanting to get into houseplants, this is the kind of plant that I would recommend that you start with. It's so easy care, and you can put it in a range of different places in your house. And it will, once it's established in your house, you'll see one or two new leaves a week. So it's got rapid growth.
And don't I love how they grow. They unfurl, don't they?
Exactly.
Kind of curl open. It's lovely to watch. I've actually got some, I'm propagating some at the moment, so I've snipped some off and plopped put them into water, and they look like something's happening. I hope it's not rot,
really,
but I think it is happening, so that's quite exciting.
I love rooting cuttings in water because it's so easy, isn't it?
And the fenestrations that you get in the larger leaves, the holes in the leaves are designed naturally to allow the light through to the younger leaves below.
Isn't that fascinating?
It's brilliant. But like with Monstera, don't they get very big and unwieldy? Like, what if they get too big for the home?
The name Monstera, they get absolutely huge.
But can people manage them or cut them back? Or what do you do when your Monstera gets to the ceiling, for example?
I've heard stories of people being given them as wedding gifts, and they've got so big they have had to cut them down to get them out of the house.
To get out of their own house.
But personally, I would like to leave it and let it do its own thing.
Yeah,
I guess if it does get too big, then maybe you can pass it on to a business or something like that with space that could look after it.
Well, actually, that's a good point about businesses, because I think offices especially are now starting to incorporate houseplants, aren't they, into design, and understanding that houseplants have these amazing benefits to clear the air of toxins and pollutants. And going back to mother-in-law's tongue, I know there's loads more, but that's quite fashionable at the moment. You see them on lots of filing cabinets because they're really good, aren't they, for getting rid of the chemicals in the air from photocopiers and printers, that kind of
thing. Exactly, they're
help
really
you
good
work
for purifying your kind of work environment. Diffenbachia Compacta, or any of the Diffenbachias, are really good air purifiers.
Okay.
Spider plant is another one, actually.
And
like you say, more and more offices are looking into that sort of thing. We've had quite a few requests of people wanting plants for their office space.
So spider plants, you can't kill a spider plant, can you?
It's so easy to look after, and they look amazing when you start getting all of these shoots coming off the sides and the little babies hanging down. They look
and then
amazing.
You just repot the babies?
You can if you want, but I think it's nice to see all of these bits just shooting off,
just
like
see them
fireworks.
Dangling.
Like fireworks. I like that.
Yeah.
What's your favourite houseplant?
I think one of my favourite houseplants is probably the pilea or pilea, which has many different names, but I just think it's a really beautiful little plant.
Yeah, lovely, shiny, round.
The Peperomioides.
That's the one, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I can't say that.
What's the common name for that then?
A lot of people know it as the Chinese money plant.
That's it.
The friendship plant. Because
the pancake plant.
The pancake plant.
As well.
I'm propagating mine as well. I've got
people
that
from the States like to call it the UFO plant.
I like that.
Yeah, the
I
flying
like
saucer
one.
Plant. It has
so
many names.
Cool name, yeah. I'm going to start calling it that as well.
What's
now?
The easiest houseplant to propagate, do you think? Because there's so many.
There are so many. It's difficult. There are so
many.
Yeah.
I've got So yeah, actually, all the ones we've mentioned I'm propagating at the moment, and it's just amazing to see those roots grow.
Yes.
The mother-in-law's tongue, you can split it, can't you? You can split the roots if you like, but also you can cut them off.
You can
off
cut it into,
put it into
sort of
water.
A couple of inch slices, and they propagate really easily.
So you can get
Shall
more plants for
this
free.
Guy to...
There's lots of noise, basically, because we're in the park getting some sunshine, aren't we?
Yes, but I want to talk a little bit about cacti and succulents, because when I was a kid, I used to grow them from seed,
yeah.
Which was really, really fun, because you watch them all the way from, you know, childhood to puberty to becoming an adult. You can almost see the spines develop, and it's just amazing. But you're finding cacti popular as well? Do you sell them by name, or do you sell them as a mixture?
We sell them as a mix. Mm-hmm. But people like to give them names.
Okay, so right.
For instance,
oh,
somebody came
pet
in
names and stuff, yeah. Like Kevin.
Somebody came in and bought a
or Ellen.
A cacti that had really wispy grey hairs everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And they named it Einstein, which I thought was quite
That's
funny.
That's cool. Yeah. I like that. Sadly, I did. I'm even gonna out the store. I was in Next,
okay.
Not buying plants, obviously. Oh. But on the counter, they had a tray of cacti. And they had stuck with glue a plastic flower on the top of each of those cacti, and the glue was running down the sides of
That's
this
awful.
Poor plant.
Mm, that's awful.
And why would you need to do that? And
especially
why
if it
would,
isn't done
why?
Well.
It was awful. Yeah. I actually had to say something. And I was almost tempted just to buy the whole tray and try and rescue them, but I couldn't.
You
but
said something to the store then?
Yeah, well, I said something to a lady in the store. I said it was just terrible.
They probably
and she
care,
actually said, yeah, I know.
I have seen those cacti, and I just don't understand why they would do that.
But they've been doing that since the 80s, putting the little straw flowers in the middle of cacti. For example, just
no.
to show that they're in
beautiful
flower.
Beautiful flowering cacti, and
yeah.
a lot of old school cacti collectors. That's why they're into cacti, is for the flowers,
yeah,
not
yeah,
necessarily
yeah.
the plant.
Amazing.
Because sometimes
amazing.
Those flowers on certain cacti, it might only flower for one day a year,
yes.
or it might take years before they flower, and then when they flower,
years.
They are absolutely beautiful, and it's totally worth the wait, isn't
yes.
it?
I think a lot of people don't realise that cacti do flower.
Yeah.
They
yep.
think they're just this boring little kind of dome with prickles on, really, but. Amazing plants.
What about carnivorous plants? They're pretty popular at the moment, aren't
we
they?
We had a lot of carnivorous plants throughout the summer, and yes, they were very, very popular. Hanging ones,
yeah.
all sorts, you name it.
Great for kids.
Great for kids. Kids love it.
Well, not if they're trying to shove flies down their throat, are they?
Someone was telling me that the Venus flytrap
yeah.
has, if you were to keep touching it, each one has three attempts and then it dies. So if you keep touching it, your Venus flytrap's going to die. So if you then return the Venus flytrap to the shop and say,
yes.
my Venus flytrap's died, well, it's kind of tough because you've been poking it.
Well, kids do like to poke their fingers in, and if there's no nutrients or no fly in there, then
yeah.
it uses so much energy to close.
Exactly.
There's nothing for it to eat and digest, and the plant will use all of its energy and it will die. Yes.
So don't poke your plant.
That is cruelty to plants.
No poking plants.
I think the other thing with insect-eating plants is that a lot of customers expect that will solve their summer fly problem in the home.
Yes.
But these insect-eating plants only need like two or three insects a year in order to supplement their, you know, poor mineral diet that they have in the wild. So they're not going to solve your fly problem. You
no.
need to have a different solution for that. It's
so,
one of the biggest preconceptions with insect plants.
That's true,
yeah.
I do
top
agree.
Top tips for houseplants in general. Give us a couple.
Number one, choosing the right plant for the right space
yeah.
in
mm-hmm.
your house. Making sure that you can provide the right care for that particular type of plant.
Mm-hmm.
And just remember that these plants, these are like people, you know, so you need to treat them with love, care and respect.
I love that.
And
like
not,
a pet,
not
really.
Every plant is going to look beautiful either. They're going to have little quirks about them. They're going to have some ruffled leaves and whatever, and you need to just look after your plants, love your plants, and your plants
that.
Will love you back.
So what we're saying is don't believe everything you see on Instagram when you
yes.
see all these lovely pristine homes with all these neat house
plants. They're not all perfect.
No, there might be yellow leaves or brown leaves.
Yeah.
This is how we learn. This is how we learn about plants and how we learn to look after plants.
Mm-hmm.
Learn about talking to other people who have plants,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a real community as well. People who have houseplants.
Social media is fantastic, isn't it, for that? Thank you so much, Roscoe.
Thank
you.
Where do we find you on social media?
Find us, The Plant Den Norwich, on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in Norwich, come in and have a look and say hi.
Yeah, we'll do.
Cool, thanks so much.
Thank you.
We'll let you get back to your houseplants.
Cheers, guys. Thank you very much. Bye.
You know,
far.
I do, yeah. But only with one finger. And you should see me... Have you ever seen me type on a MacBook or a typewriter?
Yeah, you use one finger on each hand and to like kind of really slam the keys.
That's some mad crab. Oh, melon.
Have you had any new tattoos? I'm seeing one here. Was this new?
Yes. Which one?
This one.
No, that's been there a while. Double lily. Wisteria's new.
Ooh, this is nice.
Some sedum up here, which is easy to mistake for...
I know what you're going to say. Oh, well, that looks like a foliage plant.
Yeah, well, it's sedum sun sparklers. That's what it is.
Okay.
There's also clematis at the back here, which is little lemons, which is being launched at the Chelsea Flower Show.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Very pretty.
But so, it's still kind of developing and filling in, you know? So.
Do you pick all of these plants for a specific reason? Is it because you really love them? Just, or how does the inspiration
just comes to me. Like, Ellen, I live my life through instinct, basically. No, I really do. I know you're giving me a weird grin. But
I just kind of follow
what feels right at the time.
Yeah.
So I just, a few days before, I don't really plan these very well. I'm just kind of like, oh, yeah, I'll have a lily. Oh, yeah, I'll have a clematis.
That's so
cool.
Oh,
yeah, I'll have a etlingura. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. And just, that's why I'm never fully happy with my sleeve yet, because it's developing and it's not really a finished piece yet. So okay. That's why, you know, I don't want anyone to look at it.
Sorry, I just pulled your sleeve up and had a good
talk
old
about
look.
Something else,
can
please?
I just say that you wouldn't be surprised to know that my flower tattoo was planned
and
prepared
so square.
And specific for like a month before I went to have it done.
I sort of like to plan things, but I also like creativity to take hold as well, and when you plan something too much, you can't be proactive with being creative. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do agree with that.
But tattoos are different. But I guess I'm in a different position where I've got a lot of tattoos, so it's become like my body is tattooed rather than tattoos on a body.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And I thought the other way around, I guess. Yeah. Mine was specific and I knew what I wanted and I knew the particular flowers I wanted. But then I let Ruth, who's amazing, from Maud versus Machine. She
other tattooists are available.
They are, of course, but she's been a friend of mine since college, I think.
But still, other tattooists are available.
I let her, you know, put it together and use her creativity.
That's cool.
But you know, the reason why I was actually asking you was because, you know, were these tattoos chosen because they're all plants that you love? Obviously, you're not going to have one that's a plant that you really hate, are you?
I don't know, but...
Because then when you look at it and go, ugh, I hate that plant.
Yeah, but to look at a plant, there's no plants that I hate to look at.
Yeah.
I don't know, because plants are plants. But to grow,
that's
some plants that we would hate to grow. Yeah.
What plants do you hate to grow?
There's some plants I find really boring.
Oh.
And they're ones that you probably... This is weird, because this is not nostalgia at all. The plants that you remember from your childhood as kind of being the kind of standard plants that were just everywhere. Mm. Like, sounds I'm probably going to get loads of alpine hate now. But, like, just boring little mossy saxifrage.
Okay.
And some of those kind of plainer-looking alpines, like Arabis.
Okay.
Stuff like that. I feel they're very boring, because they're very kind of just... They don't
do
much.
I kind of like them.
Well, no, on the other hand, I do love alpines, but just those sort of ones, I'm a bit like, bleh.
Okay,
you know?
They're just not top of your list. Mm,
I also... Oh, my God, I don't know if I'm going to say this.
Come on, no one can hear.
Generally, I hate salvias. I don't know. They're just a bit like, I'm like looking at them, I'm like, what are you doing?
How can you not like salvias?
Like, sometimes they're just
but why?
A bit untidy. Sometimes they don't really flower till very late in the season.
But then they do flower late in the season.
Do you know, there's one
which
that
is
I,
perfect.
The one that I do hate, which you start seeing a lot of municipal planting. And that kind of is what goes towards hating a plant, is the bloody hot lips one. Do you know what I mean?
No, I love hot lips.
Because it becomes a weird monster and it then is variable. Sometimes it's all white, sometimes
it's
all
sometimes
red.
Sometimes it's all white, sometimes it's all red. But when you get the hot lips, that's perfect. I think that I love it. But you're right, that is a love or hate relationship.
Yeah.
Loads of people have said that they don't like hot lips to me. In my old garden border, I had a huge salvia hot lips. And it filled a space and I loved it. It looked ace with all the other plants around
it. It does fill a space, I must admit.
It does fill a space.
But then I would see that as lazy gardening.
Well, and, like, I am a lazy
garden. You've only got it there because it's like for amenity planting.
I don't have time to do anything else, so amenity planting is great for me.
Oh, what? Oh, you'll hate this one as well. Euonymus, like those little golden
ones.
I'm not that
fan of Euonymus at all. Any, to be honest. They're not top of my
list. They deserve to be trodden on a verge.
Well, I wouldn't go that far because they're plants, and we love plants, don't we? But
Asterix there. Asterix, we love plants.
Don't go and stand on your plants, please.
What plants do you hate then?
I don't hate any plants at all. I actually love all plants.
Oh, you're going to say that to
be a suck up. But, no, I'm not, because I do genuinely find something in every plant. I don't know. I'm sorry, it's true, but I'm going to tell you why.
Oh, you're so bloody wholesome.
I'm not being wholesome. I honestly just do love them. But there is one that's actually a beautiful plant. It's a house plant, actually. It's a beautiful plant, but can I grow it?
Can I bugger?
It's such a bloody diva, and that's a maidenhair fern.
Oh, you're right, yeah.
It actually does my head in.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking in this room, and I'm seeing a croton.
Yeah.
Padaeum.
Yeah.
How long have you had that?
A year, maybe.
Because that's doing really well. They're usually a bitch,
that.
You know?
Yeah, no, it's fine. And look, it's got all new leaves growing on the top, so it's really happy where it is.
But the ferns, it's not in the bathroom, or...?
I've tried maidenhair ferns in two different bathrooms in our house and then in the lounge, because where I moved it to in the lounge, a lot of the plants were quite happy.
Two different bathrooms, because we are a four bathroom house.
Oh, sorry. Don't tell everybody. Gosh. And by the way...
We've got two more to try now, haven't we?
Four bathrooms aren't great because you have to clean them all as well. But it's wherever I put it, whatever I do to it, it doesn't survive. And I've had enough. I'm not trying anymore. I'm done with it now. So I know that's a house plant. I can't actually think of any plants that I really dislike.
Mostly municipal stuff, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm just looking in your garden, seeing what I hate.
Lots of people hate ivy, but I love ivy.
I love this big-leaved ivy.
It's lovely, isn't it?
I love the Hedera helix erecta. You know the one that's kind of with the really upright, like a little staircase?
Okay.
It's a really cool plant.
I should look for that.
What do we hate? Can't wait to hear the comments on what people out there hate, actually.
Yeah, that would be really interesting. Yeah. I think a lot of people will agree with you with the Salvia hot lips, because I've heard that a few times.
But also maybe Verbena bonariensis, is it a bit overdone?
I like it, but what about the lollipop?
Yeah, that's nice. And it's a nice stitching plant that kind of, you know, knits together a border.
Yeah, I kind of like
fills
that.
Gaps.
So, like, actually, if you think about the nearly 400,000 plants that there are in the world, we've really only been able to pick out a few that
there's more I hate. Hang on. I hate anything like a yellow daisy. I get bored of. Do you know what I mean? Like, buddy.
But they're like little bursts of sunshine.
Deronicum, stuff like that, you know?
That could be really useful in certain soils and positions. In fact, funnily enough, I actually specced that for someone the other day when I was helping them out with their garden.
I love Inula though, because it has the really nice kind of spidery look to the flower.
Okay, yeah.
Well, something like Deronica's just a bit kind of so-so to me.
What about bulbs? Are there any bulbs you really dislike?
Oh God, the ones that used to come up when I was a kid in the garden, like Ornithogalum.
Oh, okay.
The Star of Bethlehem.
Yeah, I kind of like them. I like all the ones you don't like.
They just all feel boring. Like, they're just plants that were the only things that would grow in my childhood, and I feel like I've moved on.
Well, that's okay. You're allowed to do that.
Or scillas. I find scillas a bit dull sometimes.
Yes, I find them a little bit dull, but I did recently see them growing underneath some beautiful birch at Anglesey Abbey.
Oh, okay.
And the colour was a real contrast against the bark, and that they did look beautiful. Okay. But other than that, yes, I'd probably agree with you. Yeah.
Uh-huh. What about plants that you can never grow? What plant have you always failed with?
What plant have I always failed with? Probably anything that needs an acidic soil, to be honest. Rhododendrons, azaleas, well, yes, but that's why since we moved, pretty much 95% of my garden is containers.
Uh-huh.
And I had an azalea and a rhododendron that ended up dead because of vine weevil.
Oh.
So I couldn't grow them in my old garden because obviously there wasn't really many containers as such there. So I thought, yes, I'm going to give this a go because I've never really been able to grow them. And then I put them in containers and they've been literally frazzled by vine weevil. So rhododendrons, azaleas, I'm not.
Big fail.
I'm not winning at life, but I'd rather go and see them somewhere. Yeah. You know, in a lovely garden that has.
I want to go to that place, Stoddy Lodge.
Stoddy Lodge.
When does that look good?
Stoddy Lodge looks ace in May.
Yeah.
I can't even begin to tell you how beautiful it is.
Mm-hmm.
The
hashtag ad.
Hashtag
tell
ad.
Us how beautiful it is.
Oh yeah, gosh. Do we have to really do that? They're not paying me to say this. It is just the most amazing place, and it has there's a crazy eclectic bunch of azaleas, rhododendrons, along with magnolias, camellias, and trees and other. And I mean, it's just a crazy colour clash. Mm. And then you go into like this. It's what they describe as the bowl of beauty, and it is all planted with kind of peachy and yellowy azaleas and rhododendrons.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of go
Melting
down.
Melting Constable, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. You kind of go down into a bowl and there's a big lake and there's lots of water there. And the reflections in the water are mind-blowing.
Really?
It's my favourite place to see rhododendrons and azaleas.
It's quite up on the top coast, isn't it?
Yeah, it's up quite towards North Norfolk.
What's that other place I like? I don't know, it's quite far.
It's very beautiful.
East Ruston. It's a cool place, isn't it?
I think that's a little bit further down.
Yeah.
South. Compared to Stoddy Lodge, but if you are interested in seeing rhododendrons and azaleas, that is the place to go if you time it right.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Do I love rhododendron azaleas? Yeah, I do.
I love them. They're blousy and colourful and lovely.
I used to remember like the kind of purpley mauve one that my grandparents had. It used to be really sticky. And I think that put me off it a bit.
Is that the one that's now having to be cleared because
invasive? I think it was that one. But they must have had an acidic soil, thinking back. I'm not sure. Oh, God, it's funny what you don't know then, but you know now.
Anyway, I think we've...
Oh, look, I found a drawer here. What's in here? Oh, jumbo crayons.
I'm going to be turning off now if you're going to be looking through my drawers.
What's that one? What's about you?
The Plant-Based Podcast is sponsored by Sutton's, suppliers of gardeners' favourite products since 1806. Unsurprisingly, Sutton's now have everything you need for your outside space. Award-winning flower and vegetable plants, garden furniture and equipment, plus gifts for gardeners. Visit them online at suttons.co.uk.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Plant-Based Podcast.
Have a browse of the rest of the library or hop on over to the website, which is theplantbasedpodcast.net.
You'll also find our social media links. Please connect with us and let us know about any plant-based projects that you think we should be covering on the show.
And make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you'll be the first to hear the next episode. We're releasing once a fortnight. So until next time, enjoy the world of plants.